Amen. Can you hear me? Amen. You can hear me now. All right. All right. Go with me in your Bible. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 this morning. Looking forward to getting back in our study in the Gospel of Mark with you. Felt like the Lord laid this on our heart. And I have a thought that I want to deliver to you this morning. Familiar text and event in the life of the Lord. We want to deal with this morning if the Lord will be our helper. Mark chapter 11, if you're saved and glad, know it and glad about it. Say amen. 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 Let's stand together. We'll read a few verses and then we'll bring you the thought as quickly as we can this morning. Appreciate all the good singing this morning in the house of the Lord. The congregational singing was wonderful. The choir sung well. And then you can't beat that singing we just heard. Amen. The Lord is still good to us. I don't care what you've gone through, what you've been through, what you think you're going to face later in the day or tomorrow or this week. God is always good. And I thank the Lord for that in this hour. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible said, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way in the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. They went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. They loose him. Certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. He sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. They that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We'll leave off our reading there this morning. You can be seated. We've had a break here for a little while from our study on the life of the Lord Jesus according to the record of Mark. And if my records are right, I believe they are. We preached 70 different messages, and there's been a few more services than that since we have the problem. We rarely finish a message in one service, but I've delivered 70 different thoughts out of the opening 10 chapters, and now I feel like the Lord has led us back to get into this again, and we'll see how long that we'll stay in this. And you pray that the Lord will help us today. Mark chapter 11, as we've read this, begins the record of what has been termed the Passion Week. That's how many in religious circles would term the week simply as the Passion Week, as a reference simply to the events of Jesus' life through the week leading to his crucifixion, his burial, and then his resurrection. And we're thankful for that record that we have. It's interesting when you study the gospel records, and particularly it's true here in Mark, you understand there's only 16 chapters in the gospel of Mark. Mark 1 through 10 deal with Jesus' life in large sums and different segments of it, different places that he would travel and journey and go. And people he would meet in multitudes that he would do miracles for. When you come to Mark 11 through the remainder of the text, you have those records of the Lord's last week of his life. And then, of course, the ascension is dealt with in Mark chapter number 16. After the resurrection, from the resurrection to the ascension, a few days are accounted for in there. My point is simply this, whether you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the emphasis of their writings was not on his birth, it was not on the days of his childhood, it was not even in the in the lessons that he taught, primarily they focus in on what is the main purpose of the life, the coming of the Lord Jesus and his life in this world, and that is that he came that he would die. He came that he would lay down his life. And if you read about the life of the Lord Jesus, and all you get when you get done is that he was a good teacher, he was a good preacher, he was a good man, and you have missed the emphasis of the record of his life in the Word of God, and that is that he came that he would die for our sins. It's in this week that is known as the Passion Week that much of the gospel records are committed to recording and conveying to you and I. And in this week, Jesus will fulfill the purpose for which he came into the world. As John the Baptist declared him to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In the beginning of his ministry, now 3.5 years past that declaration, by the great prophet John the Baptist, he now is going to fulfill that ministry as the Lamb of God. He's going to give his life, shed his blood, and offer a way in which mankind can be freed from their sin. And all of that is entailed in this last week, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Keep that in your mind, if you will. The text before us is known as the triumphal entry of Jesus riding upon the colt of an ass, as we read about it. He is going to come in upon this colt of an ass into Jerusalem. And we call this the triumphal entry of Christ into that holy city. We understand the scene. We think about a king, and they reference the fact that Jesus has come in the name of the Lord and has spoken of the kingdom of our father David being manifest in Christ coming into Jerusalem, riding upon this donkey. And we think about that, we're immediately reminded, I am anyway, in knowing the Old Testament, of the record that is given in 1 Kings chapter number 1. I won't read all the verses, but I'll reference, you can look them up for yourself, verse 32 through verse number 40 of 1 Kings chapter number 1. It is the days of the coronation of King Solomon, the son of David. And throughout those verses, it references the king's mule. And the king's mule, David said, I want you to go. He's old now. He's getting ready to die. And he sends a word to Zadok the priest and says, go get my mule and bring it and set Solomon upon it and let him ride my mule into the city. And it was a sign of coronation. It was a sign that Solomon was going to be anointed and crowned as king, and that he was going to have a peaceful ministry, a peaceful kingship, and a peaceful kingdom. War had dominated the life of David. Now Solomon will come upon a lowly mule, and Solomon will come in humility, being that servant king to the nation of Israel. When they reference, blessed be the kingdom of our father David, there is in Jesus Christ riding upon this colt of an ass, a lowly donkey, signifying that he is coming in humility. And though he be Lord and though he be king, he has come to serve and he has come to bring salvation. This scene that we've read about this morning in Mark 11 is really a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, where it is prophesied that Jesus as the Messiah would do just this very thing, bringing salvation on the back of a donkey. And you can read those references out. I'll just throw them out this morning and you can look at them for yourself. But it's very, very laid out and clearly understood. And this would be a testimony of the Son of God, the Messiah sent from God. And he would be coming, bringing salvation with him. And they would see that fulfilled with him riding upon the foal of an ass. Now this morning, here's my thought simply that I want to preach. And maybe the thought is better than the message. I hope that's not so. We'll just make our way. Simple message this morning.
But here begins the week of the Lamb of God. Here begins the week for which He's come into the world. Here has come the ministry of the Lamb of God. And we find that when this all begins, we find Jesus, the Lamb of God, up on the back of a donkey. I want to preach on this thought this morning, on the day the Lamb rode a donkey. A day the Lamb rode a donkey. Of all the things the Lord could have chose, He could have walked. He could have had a chariot brought to it. He could have, my friend, had men carry Him on their very shoulders. But the Lord, no doubt, in fulfilling the prophecies about Him in the Old Testament and identifying with the Davidic kingdom and the promises that God had made to David about the greater son than that of Solomon, He chose to come in that day upon the back of a donkey. What a scene that must have been, Brother Jack, to see a lamb, to see the lamb, a man riding on a donkey. And what significance when you think about a lamb and a donkey and what they represent. The Bible said in the book of Job that man is compared to that of a wild ass, and in his stubbornness and in his fleeing into the wilderness, that is what mankind is like. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself too quickly. But we think about the donkey and his loneliness, and we think about the donkey and all that it represents, and we'll see in a moment. And of all the things the Lord could have rode upon that day, amen, when He gets ready to fulfill His ministry as the Lamb of God, we find Him riding upon a donkey. The day the Lamb rode a donkey. Let's notice some truths in this text this morning quickly about this day the Lamb rode a donkey. Number one, consider with me the picture of the creature. A picture of the creature we find this morning. And in this text, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is going to ride upon a beast of burden. In this colt of an ass, literally, we would call it a donkey in this day. We find a direct picture of every sinner that has ever been. And in this donkey, there is a wonderful type of what mankind is in his earthly nature. And we're all born as wild asses, as stubborn donkeys, that, my friend, are sinners against God. We didn't become that. That's what we were when we was born. Amen. We received that donkey nature in our conception. And that's why all we like sheep have gone astray. But we're even worse than that. We are donkeys that, my friend, are pictured by this creature that is in this text. I think about this donkey. We call him a donkey this morning. And I don't want you to be offended, amen, by some of the terminology of the King James Bible. It is what it is. And I don't apologize for it. Amen. But we'll call it this morning, the donkey was, in this picture, this creature, the donkey was condemned. We think about the Old Testament. And one thing God made clear under the law is that there were clean animals and there were unclean animals. The donkey, this foal of an ass, it fell under the category of those that were considered to be unclean. To be clean, an animal had to meet at least two qualifications. One is it had to have a split hoof. Well, this colt of an ass, this donkey, doesn't qualify. Another thing that made an animal clean or unclean is that it was determined, did it chew its own cud? And the donkey doesn't do that. The cattle do that, the bulls do that, the goats do that. But this particular beast of burden known as a donkey, it does not chew its cud. And so it is a unclean animal. It doesn't even meet one of the two qualifications. It doesn't even halfway qualify to being a clean animal. And I tell you this morning, mankind in his earthly conceived nature, that is after that of Adam, we don't even halfway qualify that friend to be clean in the eyes of God. We are all an unclean thing. All our righteousness, the Bible declares, is as a filthy rag. And so we are unclean as the donkey is. You say, but preacher, you said he was condemned. And not every unclean animal this is said of, but of the donkey in particular, the Lord said that a donkey, when it is unclean, not only in its is it unclean, but in its uncleanness. Under the law, it was condemned to death. When a donkey was born, the Bible said that it must be redeemed. And the only way that it can be redeemed, we'll get to that in a moment, is that a lamb must die. But if you're not going to redeem it, the law said that that ass had to be taken down to the high priest and carried down to the temple, and it had to have its head put upon an anvil, and a hammer would be thrown upon its neck, breaking its neck, resulting in the death of the ass. And I say this morning, we as sinners conceived in sin. I can see, my friend, our mothers in sin did conceive us. And we had that nature of sin upon us. And because of our uncleanness, our vile uncleanness, and our stubbornness, and we didn't even halfway qualify, amen, to be clean in the sight of God, the law can pronounce judgment upon us, and death was upon us, and the vengeance of God was against us, and the anvil and the hammer, the judgment of God, was soon to be our fate. We find ourselves in the picture of the creature. The donkey here was condemned. The donkey in this text, he is confined. Jesus said, I want you to go into this village over against you. He said, as soon as you be entered into it, you're going to find a colt, and he's going to be tied. He is a confined beast. He is tied down. He, my friend, is connected to something he can't get away from. Is that not a picture of you and I as sinful creatures today? That mankind is in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to the world. We are in bondage to the flesh. We are confined, my friend, to our sinful lusts, our sinful desires. And my friend, we do the lust of our father, the devil, as he directs us to do it. Confined and in bondage to sin. We find a sinner this morning in the picture of the creature of the donkey. He was condemned and he was confined. Let me say this, I believe the donkey we see in picture, Brother Carl, that he's confused. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you find him, and let me get it right in verse number 4. He said, to be tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. He's standing there, confined, Brother Tim. He doesn't have the ability to break loose, but even if he could, he don't know which way to go. It represents a place of confusion. He doesn't know what he needs. He doesn't know what all he wants. And my friend, if he can break loose, he would be absolutely confused about which way to go in life. Is that not the sinner today? It's amazing the hour that we're living in, the confusion that is in the world and the confusion that is in sinners. Somebody said, well, hey man, just let sinners make their own choice and don't bother them and don't preach to them that. And don't tell them about the gospel and the way of God to go. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said there's only one of two ways. And there's a broad gate that enters into a wide gate that enters into the broad way. And he said there is a narrow gate, a straight gate that enters into the narrow way. There's only one of two ways to go. And mankind is confused about the way of God. And in this donkey we find that he is a condemned beast. He is a confined creature. He is a confused creature. Do you remember? Or maybe you would say, preacher, that's where I am this morning. For those of us that are saved, do you remember the day that you was nothing more than an old donkey? A man condemned, confined, and confused. And were nothing but the anvil of the judgment of God. You didn't know what you wanted out of life. You didn't know up from down or the way to God. You didn't know how to live for God. You'd try to quit this and quit that, but you'd only pick it back up again because you is confined in your sin and confined in your endemic sinful nature. And my friend, oh, the picture and the creature in the text is a portrait of the shape and the condition that every sinner has ever been in this realm known as the world. Amen. The creature, the picture of the creature. Number two this morning, consider with me the significance of the deliverance. A significance of the deliverance. Here's what we learned from the text this morning, is that the Lord is interested in this colt. He knows it's condemned. He knows it's confined. He knows it's in a way betwixt two paths. He knows the confusion that is there. He knows that it deserves the judgment of God. He knows it's an unclean thing. He knows it doesn't even halfway qualify to be clean in the sight of God. And yet, we find that the Lord, as the Lamb of God, has a desire for of this donkey in this text. And I say this morning that is a significant picture to you and I of the deliverance in every sinner needs. And that if we're going to be delivered from such a picture of the creature, and my friend, there are some things that must take place. Amen. I like what the Bible said. And when the Lord got ready to bring this donkey to himself, and the significance of this deliverance is that he sent two of his disciples. Amen. I believe that pictures the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Amen. You know what it takes to bring deliverance in the life of a sinner, and to take the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. It's going to take the Holy Ghost work at and the Word of God speak at. Amen. There is no deliverance. There is no salvation. Amen. Apart from the ministry of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. Ain't you glad for the day the Holy Ghost came to where you was? Ain't you glad for the day the Word of God met you in your path? And when you was confused, the Word of God brought clarity. And when you was confined, the Holy Ghost brought liberty. And when, my friend, you was doomed to die, amen, the Holy Ghost and the Word of God showed you a better way. Thank God, I'm glad for the significance of the deliverance in the text. And so the Lord sends the two to find this donkey, amen, to go get him and deliver him and bring him to Jesus. I see this morning involved in the significance of the deliverance, I see the love for the donkey. I told you a moment ago, according to Exodus 13, and verse 12 and 13, the donkey was condemned to die. Under the law, God said that you must break the ass's neck. But if you want it to live, if you don't want it to die, then you've got to bring it down to the temple with a lamb. And there the high priest will kill the lamb, and the donkey can be taken back home free. The fact of the matter is, one of the two is going to have to die. Either the lamb dies so the donkey can live, or the donkey dies and the lamb gets to go home. And I remind you this morning, amen, that in that redemptive price that would be paid is a testimony of love. What would motivate somebody to want to keep an ass around? What would motivate somebody, my friend, to keep such an unclean thing around? There must be love involved. Amen. For the redemptive price, the exchange of a lamb, a precious lamb, a lamb that is valuable, a lamb that in the eyes of God is held in high regard. Amen. Being given for that, of a lonely, common, good for nothing donkey. And I tell you this morning, the significance of the deliverance in the text, amen, reminds you and I that anywhere, in fact, in the Word of God, after Exodus 13, that you see a donkey and an ass in the text, it means somewhere that a lamb had to give its life up so that it can be alive. And I remind you this morning, amen, every time you see a child of God, amen, they may still be a donkey. They may look like a donkey. They smell like a donkey every now and then. But every time you see one of us around, it is evidence again of the witness of the gospel that God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son, and you and I might be saved and delivered by the grace of God. Amen. The love for the donkey. Notice with me in the text the significance of the deliverance. I see the location of the donkey. And you say, what do you mean? Amen. Here's how one worded this morning. Amen. Jesus knew where the donkey was. Amen. This donkey. Amen. Nobody else may have had their mind on it. Nobody else may have knew where it was. If they did, they probably wouldn't want it much to do with it. But my friend, I'm telling you, Jesus knew, Brother Tim, where it was all along. What an omniscient Savior you and I have today. Amen. When He got ready to save me, praise God. Amen. He sent the Holy Ghost, sent the Word of God to my life, and let me hear the gospel. He knew where I was. He knew exactly where I was. He knew where you was, and He knows where you are today. Amen. The locating of the donkey. Amen. It may have been lost in himself. Amen. He may have been confined and lost to the minds of all other mankind in Jerusalem that day. But the Savior knew where the donkey was located. Amen. Jesus ain't ever had to ask, well, where's that sinner at? Amen. He knows you. He knows your address. He knows your zip code. He knows your area code. Amen. He knows everywhere you've ever been. He knows everything you've ever done. Amen. He knows the bar rooms you frequented. He knows the dance halls you, my friend, amen, got your groove on it. Amen. He knew everything about you. And when He got ready, my friend, when He got good and ready, amen, to allow you the opportunity to be saved, amen, He knew exactly where you was at and how to get to you, thank God. Amen. In our salvation, we're reminded in this text of the fact that our Savior, He knows where sinners are. Amen. Some of us is lost in a Baptist church pew. Didn't surprise the Lord at all. He knew where we was. Amen. Hallelujah. The loosing of the donkey is involved in the significance of this deliverance. Consider with me, Jesus said that when you find Him, when you get to where I'm sending you, and you find Him, He said, what I need you to do is loose Him. He is confined and He can't break out. Every time He tries, the knot gets tighter and tighter. And the leash gets shorter and shorter. When you get there, you too need to, amen, work for Him what He cannot work for Himself and what others are not willing to do, and loose Him and bring Him hither. And I remind you this morning in our salvation, we could not loose ourselves. We could not, my friend, free will ourselves out of sin. It took, my friend, something greater than you and I to loose us. Oh, we tried. Hey, ma'am, it ain't it amazing? And all you tried, you just got worse. And in all you pulled, and you just got more confined. And the rope got shorter, and the knot got tighter. And my friend, you found yourself in worse shape than you've ever in your life. But ain't it amazing? Somebody said, well, what they need to go down to AA. You tried that, and it didn't do much. Another said, well, you may need to go get this shot. If you get this shot, it'll help you with all your addictions and all your issues and all your problems, but you just ran straight back to it as soon as the shots run out. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And shame said, You ought not be looking at this. You ought not be focused in feeding your flesh on such filth and disgust is what you're watching at. And shame would have, friend, shame would cause you to turn away for a little while. Then you'd run straight back to it again and again and again. And then each time, hey man, the rope got shorter and the knot got tighter. But man, friend, ain't it amazing? And when the Lord came to where you were, and the Holy Ghost did His work, and the Word of God was received into your life by faith, ain't it amazing how the Lord undone the knot and set you in liberty? We live in a world, I don't need to bog down here, but we live in a world that, my friend, is entangled to sin and entangled to the world and claims salvation. And here's what the Bible said. Amen. To you and I that are saved, that as children of God, we are soldiers, and no man that warreth entangleth himself again with the affairs of this world. Amen. Jesus didn't come, amen, that we can stay bound and confined. Jesus said, amen, whom the Son hath made free, you're free indeed. I'm glad, thank God, this morning that there is liberty and there's freedom, amen, that comes from the Savior and comes, amen, by way of salvation and deliverance. The answer to every drunkard today is old time Holy Ghost conversion called the new birth. Amen. The cure today for every man steeped in sensuality and sexual sin and perversion outside of the means that God has given to man to enjoy that physical intimacy with, the answer to every man that is struggling today, amen, is old time Holy Ghost conversion called, you must be born again. Amen. That's the only thing that'll loosen a man from sin. Amen. Notice the leading of the donkey. I'm nearly done this morning. The leading of the donkey. I see this morning the Bible said, and Jesus, listen what Jesus said, loose him and bring him. Look with me in verse number 7. The Bible said, and they brought the colt to Jesus. Can I say this morning that ultimately in the significance of the deliverance, as we move from the picture of the creature, we've said that we're in sin, that and we're condemned and confined and confused, that ultimately what we really truly need today is to be led to the Savior. There's no salvation in coming to church. There's no salvation in doing good works. There's no salvation in being baptized. There's no salvation in your religiosity. Amen. The only way a man can be delivered, Dad, is being brought to the Savior. Amen. 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 You can be brought to a good family. You can be brought in the presence of a great preacher. You can be brought, my friend, a lot of different places. And it may, my friend, impact your life for a moment. My friend, life change and soul salvation and deliverance from sin and only be wrought about when a man is led to Jesus. And I tell you this morning, He's the answer. He is the answer today. I'm glad that He's leading the way. Amen. By the way, if you've ever been delivered and saved, this should be the testimony and is the testimony of your life. Amen. That Jesus leads the way. Amen. Number 3, we see the picture of the creature, the significance of the deliverance. Last of all, notice the magnification in the coronation. This whole text revolves around, again, what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. The crowd that day, they were not introduced to the donkey, but rather they are introduced and focused upon the Lamb. And can I say this morning, the redeemed and delivered beast of burden known as the colt and the foal of an ass and donkey had the privilege, after all that the Savior had died, to simply, amen, have a ministry of lifting up the Savior. I know this is simple this morning. It is a simple text, but the truth this morning is that you and I that have been saved, you and I that once were condemned and confined and confused and in such a bad shape as creatures of sin, that my friend Jesus saved our life, and Jesus redeemed our life, and Jesus, my friend, by His own blood, has paid the redemptive price, and He's led us to Himself. He's loosed us from our own life. Oh, my friend, thank God He's the one who located us and loved us. And the least we can do this morning is what this donkey did, and just let Jesus be all over us so that we can magnify Him to the crowds that are around. Amen. Too many Christians want to be the theme and the story of their own life. Amen. Amen. I said, amen. Notice with me this morning several things the donkey magnified that day. Number one, he just simply magnified the presence of Jesus. They bring the donkey to where the Lord is. The Bible said they cast their garments on Him and He sat upon Him. The fact of the matter is something changed between verse number 6 and the end of verse number 7. And it is simply this, that donkey that day and that uproar and the emotionalism of that crowd that day, it was the donkey that simply magnified that the Son of God has come to save us. He is the one that has brought salvation. And the day that the Lamb rode the donkey, it was a witness of the presence that God had come to man, and that man can be saved. And what He was going to do was to be an offering of eternal redemption for all mankind. And I tell you this morning that since we've been saved, amen, it ought to be the anthem of our life. It ought to be the chorus of our life. It ought to be the theme of the story and the witness in the days of our life. And it is all about Jesus. And when I could not go to where He was, He came to me. And that mankind and our sin, we was way off and we was wayward. But now He is on us. He rides us. He sits on our life. And my friend, His presence on us is something that the world ought to see magnified. Amen. Amen. We got enough. I don't want to be mean or rude. I'm going to be mean tonight. I promise you that. Amen. I'm preaching tonight. Y'all come back. I'm preaching on the effeminization of a nation. Amen. It's going to be gun barrel straight. If you don't like hard preaching, don't come tonight. Amen. Amen. But I ain't going to be mean this morning, but I tell you what troubles me. That's these that claim salvation, but you never see the presence of God in their life. Here's what Romans 8 said, Brother Larry, one of Brother Larry's favorite chapters. If you be without the Spirit of God, you're none of His. There ought to be somewhere in your life that people can see the presence of God. And it ain't Him wearing a silly little t-shirt. And it ain't Him wearing a lapel pin. Amen. It ain't Him advertising in bracelets and jewelry and announcements in the way that man tries to say they know God today. Amen. If you have the presence of God in your life, you don't need a t-shirt to advertise it. They'll know you let us get around you. Amen. And they'll go magnify the presence of God. Not the donkey, but the Lamb. And the Lamb is evident in your life. Amen. That's right. Amen. Has anybody seen Jesus on you lately? Amen. I know we're all prone to wander. I know, amen, we're all prone to buck every now and then. And that ought not be the theme of our life. The theme of our life ought to be and that man, that woman, that old donkey creature magnifies the presence of God in their life. Amen. In your body and in your spirit. Don't get that, amen, don't get too emphatic one way or the other. Keep it balanced in your life. Amen, body and spirit, body and spirit, body and spirit, spirit and body. We ought to be glorifying the presence of God that is in our life. Amen. Amen. The donkey did it. Why can't we do it? We ain't going to let a donkey outdo us, are we? I've made up my mind, I ain't. Ain't no donkey gonna outdo me. Amen. I want God's presence to be something that is magnified. Amen. From my life. He magnified the presence of God. He magnified the power of Jesus. Not only the presence of Jesus, but the power of Jesus. Watch this. Remember what Jesus said in verse number 2 in this colt. In the picture, in the creature, he said, whereon never man sat. This colt of an ass has never had a man sit on him before. Amen. Now, I ain't much of about knowing about breaking animals. I've been around them here and there seasons of my life. But I know this, the first time somebody goes trying to climb on a horse or a mule or a donkey, amen, it ain't natural for that beast to just go, oh, okay, that's good. I'll listen to everything you want to say. But this one did. This one did. Never a man had sat on it. Never had it ever relinquished its will and give up its stubbornness to the authority and the power of another. And yet on the first day that a man would ever sit upon it, it was the Lamb of God that climbed up on the donkey's back and rode him into Jerusalem. Watch it now. Watch it. There was no saddle. There was no reins. There were no whips. All the implements that men have to use to control even a beast that has been broken are absent out of this story. Brother Charlie, the donkey just simply moves and turns and goes at the authority of the word of the Lamb of God. Oh, that would be magnified in our life. We're so much like a donkey today, it ain't even funny. I said it wasn't going to be mean. Can I be a little mean? Amen. Amen. We're so good at finding loopholes. We're so good at finding ways to get out from under the authority of the word of the Lamb of God in our life. My friend, the power of Jesus is only magnified in our life, not because we say we have it, but because our life is being lived in submission to His authority. Some of us, the Lord's got to beat the living daylights out of us. That's not much of a magnification of the Lord's power. It may be His lordship, amen, but what power is displayed when we just simply say, I gladly let the Lord, without reins, without saddles, and without whips, just have control of my life. If He said it in His word, I'll do it. Even if I don't understand it, I'm a dumb donkey. And what do dumb donkeys know anyhow? I don't mean to offend you, but that's all you and I are today, a bunch of dumb donkeys. We don't know how to live, and we don't know how to go. And my friend, the Lord, He'll either drive us, amen, and whip us and chasten us, or we can just humble down and say, I surrender my will. I bow down my heart to the One and is the Lamb of God that died for me, that located me, that loved me, and loosed me, and I let Him have a leadership in my life. I will magnify the power of Jesus in my life. Oh, the day the Lamb rode the donkey, He magnified the presence of Jesus and the power of Jesus, but He magnified the praise of Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you about this donkey. He didn't have any name. We don't know what his name is. Somebody said, well, maybe it's Ed. Amen. You watched too much TV years ago. We don't know what his name was. His name ain't given. Everybody names your animals, even the ones you don't like, you give names to. Amen. But this donkey's name's never given. And the rest of its story is unknown. What happened to the donkey when after the day the Lamb rode? It ain't important. In fact, the donkey really is not the theme of the story of these verses. But we know this. For two verses of its life, it got to be a part of lifting Jesus up and seeing Jesus get all the glory and all the praise and all the worship. Even if, and this will come next week, even if it is a false coronation, even if these people don't mean it with all their heart, at least the donkey did his job. At least the donkey fulfilled his purpose and his ministry in life. And it really doesn't matter what else the rest of his story is. It doesn't matter what its name is. It doesn't matter that it didn't have any fame. But the fact remains that this donkey got the privilege to magnify the praise of Jesus that day. And I tell you today, it matters not our name. Matters not that people know us and all our story and all our tale. And I'm not saying that we don't have a testimony, and I know there's a fine line here this morning, but if you tell your story and the overriding theme, the only theme of your story is not Jesus Christ and praise be unto Him, then my friend, you are not magnifying Him like the donkey did. Sister Candy's coming to the piano. The day the Lamb rode the donkey. Now, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you set free from sin? Do you know what it is for the Lord to come into your life? Set you free. Unloose the knot. Bring you away from your old owners. Did y'all catch how they're loosening that colt? And there was some people there that day saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they had stopped them except for the command of Jesus. Ain't it amazing, before you got saved, how the world tried to keep you? Sin tried to keep you. The devil tried to keep you. The world tried to hang on to you. Amen. But what broke that authority ultimately was Jesus' command. It takes Jesus. I hope y'all got that out of the message this morning. If you didn't get nothing else, it takes Jesus. Are you saved today? Has the old connections been broken? Have you been led, my friend, down the path? You've been betwixt two. You've been in straight betwixt two paths, confused. Have you been put on the right way? Do you know that you're saved? If you know you're saved, what are you doing today to magnify the One who sits on the throne? This morning, I'm telling you, we have a great responsibility as children of God. To simply uplift the Savior. He's all that matters.
Listen, you'll spin your wheels till the day we leave this world or the day you die being focused on politics. I'm as aggravated about all of it as anybody in the building. But that ain't why we're here. We got responsibilities where that's concerned, but that ain't the purpose of our life. He is. He is. Amen. You can get so focused on hurts and nobody's paying me attention. The donkey didn't say, well, why ain't they talking about what a good donkey I am? No, Brother Mark, he just walked that road that day. Let all that praise be heaped upon the Lord that day. They said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They didn't say, well, did y'all see the size of that donkey? Did y'all see that strut that donkey had? And they walked away that day, didn't nobody say nothing about the donkey. I believe the donkey was fine with it, Brother Larry. I don't believe it bothered him. He didn't go home. Amen. He didn't go home and sulk and pout. And nobody said nothing about me today. No, because he's not all that important. What's most important is, what ought to be most important in our life, that everybody sees the lamb that rides on little old donkeys. Amen. By the way, Jesus is coming again and he's going back through that same gate. And when he does, he ain't on a donkey. Bible said he's on a white horse. That donkey gets changed. Amen. I'm about to run. That donkey gets changed somewhere. Amen. After the church is raptured out. Amen. That donkey, when Jesus comes back, that donkey ain't a donkey no more. He's a white horse. Amen. Can I tell you, one of these days, the Lord's coming back. Amen. We may leave this world just a bunch of donkeys doing our best to magnify the Lord. Oh, how we fall so short of that. Can we be honest? We fall short of that some days. Too many days. Can I tell you, when the Lord comes back, we ain't going to be donkeys no more. There ain't nobody, the Bible didn't say the Lord ain't, and nobody else is coming back riding a donkey. All there is on the other side is thoroughbreds. Whoa! Amen. Can I tell you, Amen. I'll leave this world one day a donkey, but when I come back with Jesus, I'm coming back, my friend, different. Amen. Than I've ever been. That's shouting ground. Amen. Thank God. Let's stand together. The altar's open. If you need to come, you come this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of the Lord, this simple illustration of the gospel found in just a little old common donkey. Lord, a beast that you said wasn't even fit to live. But Lord, it lived. Lord, it didn't just live. Lord, it lifted. Lord, it walked and it, Lord, had a ministry and Lord was a part of a magnification at the coronation and the triumphal entry of our Savior. Lord, when he began his week of manifesting himself as the Lamb of God for our sin. I want to thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, you're interested in people like us. In the donkey today, we learned that. Thank you for the day you walked into my life and saved me and delivered me and loosed me and freed me and loved me and found me where it was. Lord, you didn't wait on me to find you. You came looking for me. I bless your name for that. Lord, you're still looking for sinners. Lord, you know where every one of them's at. And Lord, you'd have all of them to be saved. You've had all of them Lord, you'd have all of them to be freed and loosed and brought to you and to be changed. I ask you this morning, Heavenly Father, would you please do that work only you can do. Lord, for others that are here today, may be lost in sin, would you please help them today? Lord, only you can do it. We've learned that this morning. Help us, Lord, to live lives in which the presence of Jesus can be magnified. May our lives be a reflection of the magnified power of Jesus in our life. Help us, Lord, not to be stubborn-willed, to be easily led by the authority of the words of our Savior. And Lord, may every day of our life be spent simply being satisfied with Jesus being praised. Lord, if you could do that through our life, we'd be grateful. We love you today, Lord. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can look this way. I appreciate your attention today. And I hope that's a little something you can take home, be excited about. I know it's simple, but amen. That's the kind of messages we need in these days. Just be reminded what Jesus did and praise Him for it and allow Him to be magnified. Be back this evening again. I didn't mean to give it away while I was preaching this morning, but this month the Lord has laid on our heart on Sunday nights to tackle some pretty serious issues that are going on in our day. If you missed last week, I encourage you, go find out where all that's located through the church's live stream capabilities. And we preached last Sunday night on the anti-life mentality of the pro-choice movement. And we dealt with the subject of abortion. Strong message. And that has been viewed already a lot of time, many times. And I encourage you, share it, get it out. And tonight I want to preach on the effeminization of a nation. And I'm going to deal with the subject at hand is the lack of manliness and manhood in our generation. And We'll just barely touch maybe on some of the transgender stuff that'll work in just a little bit. I'm going to do a whole message just on that over the next couple of weeks. But I want you to be here tonight. I think what I'm preaching tonight would, and I know we need a spiritual revival. I know that. But if we could just get a revival of manhood, if we could just get a revival of manliness in our nation, a lot of this stuff that we're seeing going on, there'd be a stop put to it. If men would raise up, please don't get mad. You come back tonight, I'll make you mad. Don't get mad before I get started. But if we'd have some real men stand up, tell some of these silly women to shut up, It would change this country. And I don't mean any derogatory thing toward women in general. I said silly women. Now if you're a silly woman, I guess get mad and blow up and be upset about it. Amen. But if something don't happen, here's what I'm about to make everybody mad. Amen. If something don't happen, you listen to what I'm about ready to tell you. It'll be the women and the old people of this country getting ready to vote that crazy woman in the presence. I said it'll be women and old people. And that blows my mind. And what's even worse than that, these old Mickey Mouse men. Whew, I'm about to preach already. I can't wait till tonight. Amen. You say, I ain't coming back to hear all that. Well, amen. If you're going to get mad, then don't come. Amen. If you don't be challenged and hear the truth, that's your business. What I preached last week, I know is a fact. Brother Tim told me last night, he said, Preacher, I didn't even know about the racism aspect of abortion. He said, you preach that. He said, I went and looked at that this week. He said, you was exactly right. I'm telling you, when I preach from this pulpit, I know what I'm preaching about.
Amen.
When I preach from this pulpit, I'm telling you what God has to say.
Amen.
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 And if I don't know it and I say it, I tell you I do. So until you hear, well, this is my opinion, you just mark her down. But just been laid up and study in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's as though God is speaking. Amen. I know that tears people's nerves up. I ain't going to tell you what I ain't trying to say. Amen. Trying to make everybody a little less nervous. I'm just telling you what I preach tonight. I promise you I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Amen. And so I can't wait. We may have real little singing and a whole lot of busting. Amen. Tonight. And I need you to come in. We're going to be on the radio and live stream. It'd be good y'all say amen and let the town hear today. Some people agree with that. I won't be ugly, but I plan on being firm. Amen. I plan on being firm. God knows we need a revival of manhood and manliness. And the devil, I'll show you tonight how the devil has successfully ripped the manhood out of our nation. And he's done it on purpose. And he's done it on purpose. Amen. And so you come back tonight and shout, pout, amen. Just be stout. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Mike, you coming back?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mike's coming. All right. Let's get out of here. I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. Candy, play something, sister, and then we'll let you go. You're at liberty to go.